Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're continuing now with part two of our weekly Q&A with Layla. And we've got a question on the subject of shingles. Take it away, Layla.
Yes. Roseanne writes, "Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I had a mild case of shingles a couple of years ago with no post-herpetic neuralgia, so I consider myself very lucky." Indeed. "I have not gotten the shingles vaccine. My primary care physician advised against it since statistically it provides no guarantee. But I was listening to a radio show and a team of NYU physicians are totally in favor of the vaccine. I am confused and, of course, concerned. I was wondering if olive leaf extract is a good alternative. Thanks for your help."
Well, I think this question illustrates the controversy over the shingles vaccine. And I actually admire your primary care doctor because he's a scientific physician and he's a good consumer of medical information. I think primary care doctors have the responsibility not just to pass along every new drug or every new vaccine to their patients uncritically, but to say, okay, here's a product. It's in the medical marketplace, just like we walk into a store and we might say, well, here's a really good product or here's a product that's not so good. I mean, it doesn't mean that we won't use any products here. But some products need to be critically evaluated, and he's saying that under the circumstances that the benefits are not that great. So number one, she's had shingles. Usually shingles doesn't recur, although it can. In a very immunosuppressed person, it can come back many times. But if she's not immunosuppressed and she's had it once, she's less likely to get it again. Plus, the protection that's afforded by the shingles vaccine is not that great. Notwithstanding what the NYU doctors said, because they might be giving a overly rosy picture of it, trying to recruit patients to come in for the services that they offer. I mean, there is a little self-serving aspect to that. So it's about 50-50 in terms of protecting against shingles. However, studies show that it does not prevent post-herpetic neuralgia. So that would be the main reason, because shingles is a bothersome thing, and it's no picnic, but it goes away. And
it takes about 6 weeks or so,
It can, yeah. You can have sensations that last for a long time, but if the sensations remain and you have a severe sensitivity and pain, then you have post-herpetic neuralgia. It'd be nice if the shingles vaccine were demonstrated to reduce the incidence of this dread complication of shingles, but while it does reduce the incidence of shingles, the post-herpetic neuralgia incidence is not reduced. And in the very patients who really need protection, patients who are most vulnerable, who are most likely to get shingles, and are most likely to go on to get post-herpetic neuralgia. People who are immunosuppressed, on immunosuppressive drugs, very sick, very feeble, very elderly. The vaccine doesn't work that well. It only works about 10%.
You know, I was reading the other day about this, that shingles is the chickenpox virus. Now, why do we have so much shingles in recent years? Children are being vaccinated for the chickenpox. There's not enough children with chickenpox for the rest of us or adults to be able to keep the shingles at bay. I mean, in terms of maybe priming the immune system a little bit.
Well, that's an interesting theory. I think what it is basically the older generation did not get the chickenpox vaccine.
Right.
And so I had chickenpox.
So did I.
Or chicken pops, as they used to refer to it. And so the chicken pox virus, which is the herpes zoster, actually stays in the system, probably in the nerves, and just hides out there until a precipitating event. Sometimes it's another illness, or sometimes it's stress, or sometimes it's sleep deprivation, and then it comes out, and you get an episode of that.
Yeah.
And the second episode is called shingles, but it's actually the same virus that caused the chickenpox maybe 50, 60 years earlier. So
keep your immune system well.
Right. That's actually to my first recommendation to people when they ask about this. Keep your immune system strong. And in particular, I think that if they did extensive studies on this, they would find a strong correlation between vitamin D levels and protection this. So
protection from everything.
Well, protection, but in particular, a virus like this. And so maintaining adequate levels of that, I think, is important.
Okay. All right. Let's see. We have a question here from Dennis. Two-part question. Says, "I take occasional Ambien for sleep, and my primary doctor recommends Trazodone as a less toxic alternative. What do you think of trazodone? Over-the-counter remedies don't work well for me. Perhaps I should just go cold turkey.
Well, Ambien is the most popular sleep medication in America. However, it has some drawbacks. One is that it can be addictive, certainly habit-forming, and you get to depend on it. It becomes hard to sleep without it. And then you might find that you require more and more to get you through the night. So the other problem with Ambien is that its duration of action is short, so that it might knock you out and make you fall asleep, but you might wake up with a start at 3 a.m., unable to go back to sleep. And this is a recognized factor with Ambien. Also, now studies suggest that anybody who takes a sleeping medication is about twice as likely to die.
Is that right?
Now, that's a correlation, not necessarily a causation. It doesn't necessarily mean that sleeping pills are killing people off, but it may be that people who have sleep problems to begin with are more at risk of health problems and ultimately could die. Hmm. But that going down that route of requiring sleep medication is generally not a good route to go. But in patients who have serious health problems or sleep problems, serious challenging insomnia, it's important for them to get a good night's sleep, because that's the key to recovery and restoration of normalcy in the rest of the body. Mm-hmm. So trazodone is not a bad starting place. It's a relatively light medication. It doesn't knock you out. It's an old-fashioned antidepressant that's mildly sedating, and it can be helpful in cases of fibromyalgia, which is where one feature is insomnia.
You know, I think a lot of natural remedies may work better. I know that Dennis says over-the-counter remedies don't work. That could be your over-the-counter sleeping pill, but really, things like melatonin, a supplement we have called Insomnitol, which has some melatonin in it, but it also has some theanine. It's got lemon balm. It's got German chamomile. These wonderful.
Often work.
Yeah, they work very, very well.
And they're gentle. The other one we like is Glysom, which actually GLYSOM, and that's exclusive to the Hoffman Center. It's very hard to find that product. That's a product which actually helps not so much with falling asleep, but people who wake up in the middle of the night. And we actually got wonderful feedback on Glysom. Did you see that feedback from that patient? Or it might have been a listener. I'm not sure whether it was a patient or a listener, but somebody got a hold of the Glysom, and they said it works beautifully for their middle-of-the-night wake-up.
Yes.
Which most sleeping medications and even herbs and even melatonin doesn't work that well for.
The way Glysom works, and this is really very interesting, for the people who don't have trouble falling asleep but of staying asleep, Glysom is actually glycine, which is an amino acid. Our bodies make some of it, but this is more of a dose of it. And what it helps to do is keep our core temperature down during the night so that we stay asleep. And that's generally how it works.
It's kind of like a hibernation thing. I guess that's how the bears do it in the winter. Mm-hmm. You know, they lower their core temperature and they get into a deep metabolic rest state. Mm-hmm. And so glycine may facilitate that. Japanese research is actually fairly strong on that product.
Mm-hmm. Dennis has a follow-up question. Dr. Hoffman, what do you think of bone morphogenic proteins for osteoporosis? Are they available now for the consumer?
Yeah, I actually like that product. It's based on research that shows that certain bone-derived proteins, when applied to healing bone, facilitate recovery. And now these are available in oral form, and the research on that is pretty strong. These are BMPs, bone morphogenic proteins. And we have a product called Ostinol, and it actually seems to work by stimulating the stem cells to either turn into osteoblasts, which are bone-forming cells, the bone-building bone constituents, or chondrocytes, which is great because we want to repair cartilage. Cartilage is hard to repair. And if you have a bad knee or if you have a rotator cuff, that's a cartilage injury. And you want to stimulate the growth of chondrocytes to repair the joint.
Terrific. Terrific. Okay. Our next question we get from Karen. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. It's springtime, and people often speak about cleanses at this time of year. Can you and Layla speak?
When I hear that, it's springtime, I always go, it's springtime for Hitler. You know, remember the producers, Mel Brooks? So I can't help myself.
Can you and Layla speak about some safe ways to cleanse, possibly including liver and bladder cleanses? I love your show and listen to all of them here in the UK.
Excellent. That is great. You know, it's so exciting to hear that we have international following. And we love that people from all over the world are gaining insights about their health. And the point I'd like to make about that is that we're very lucky in America to be sort of the mecca of natural health, mm-hmm. because nowhere in the world, I think, is natural health as advanced and free mm-hmm. and innovative as it is in the United States. So people from all over the world look to us as the source of excellence in this field, and it's quite exciting. We still enjoy a great deal of freedom vis-a-vis mm-hmm. other countries, our ability to utilize supplements of our choice. That may be eroding, you know, if the FDA and the powers that be have their way.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty good situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're happy to raise the banner high. You know, the other thing, we question our place in the world here in America because we see that the productivity of China is exceeding ours, the gross national product, and we see that Canada, for example, has now advanced in terms of average income above America, and we feel like we're losing our place in the world. But from the standpoint of natural medicine, I really think that
Canada's expensive.
It's expensive, but mm-hmm. it's expensive, but people make more money, but there's not as much. There's not as much poverty, sheer poverty in Canada. So on the average, they're doing better. But anyway, just an aside.
Cleanses. Let's first talk about the wrong way to do a cleanse or a detox. You don't want to take a cleanse upon yourself if you're not really sure what you're doing, or you looked at some random website about what to do, or you just got a Vitamix or a Nutribullet and you've decided to buy all the kale in the store or all the spinach and put it in there and drink it all.
Now, how could you go wrong with such a healthful regimen?
Exactly, because these
Sounds
are all
great.
Green leafies. I'm getting folate. I'm getting all kinds of... Well, you're also...
becoming clean and green.
Clean and green, exactly. You're also getting a whole big glassful of oxalate. And oxalate is implicated...
That's from the spinach.
Yeah, from the spinach.
Yeah.
Is implicated in kidney stones.
Yeah.
So people doing too many greens of the wrong variety, something like too much spinach where there's oxalate, that's one worry, one disadvantage anyway.
Beets as well, a lot of oxalate.
Beets as well. Yeah. The second is actually...
Well,
with
the kale, you know... For example, kale.
Mm-hmm.
I read a report of a woman who, I believe it was a Chinese woman, who decided that she was going to go on a cleanse with cabbage juice.
Cabbage juice.
Fresh, raw cabbage juice. And so she just drank a ton of that. I mean, she juiced like, you know, 6 heads of cabbage every day. And it absolutely destroyed her thyroid. She had a TSH that was like 600.
Oh, my
which
goodness.
Which is the number you want to be under. Four.
Yeah.
And so it's a case report of someone who actually did a lot of damage to their thyroid with something called a goitrogen,
mm-hmm.
which is a natural compound present in, you know, reasonable amounts of kale, and, you know, the amount that you could put on a plate
mm-hmm.
is not going to do that. But if you concentrate it and juice it, you could run into trouble. So, I mean, there's certain things that are problematic, and I think people need some guts.
You don't want to juice more than you would actually eat out of a plate. So that's actually one rule of thumb. But the other problem with doing a cleanse of this type, where you're only narrowing it to vegetable or fruit juices, is where's the protein? Your detoxification, your liver detox phases need amino acids to detox properly. And we need that. We need to be getting good sources of protein. You're not getting that in your fruit juice.
Well, that's actually a segue to the Core Restore product that we use, because it actually, they think that through, and they're looking at ways of assisting the detoxification pathways. So you're going to eat very lightly. You're going to eliminate a lot of foods. You're going to eliminate wheat and dairy and, you know, many common foods and eat very lightly. But they provide you with assist with some of the amino acids in a protein formula
mm-hmm.
and some hepatic detox things and detoxifying. Mm-hmm.
The PhytoCore, the alpha base that goes with the Core Restore protein drink, which is basically a rice protein, also has some fiber, a lot of good nutrients in it, not overdoing anything that we just discussed. And taking the alpha base supplement that goes along with it is actually a very fortified I want to call it multivitamin mineral supplement that you take during this detox. And you also take the PhytoCore supplement, which helps the liver to secrete more bile. It's got dandelion and burdock and among other things in there to help support the liver.
Detox in a box.
Detox in a box.
Everything you need to conduct your own detox program. Mm-hmm. And how are patients doing with that? We have patients who are giving us feedback.
We do. We have patients who do it for a week. The typical length of time is a week, but I've got a patient right now. He's into almost a month of doing this because he's done so well in the past that every time, not every time he comes in, but a few times a year, he'll say, "Can I just do that detox again?" What is wonderful about doing the proper detox is if you're having trouble sticking to your eating program, it helps you to reset your brain. It helps to quash a lot of the cravings. It helps to clear the brain fog. It's a very good jumping off point to start with a detox regimen.
Right, and it's a teachable moment too, because mm-hmm. people who've never experienced that, and they have a bizarre array of complaints, and they'll go to the doctor, and the doctor will say, "Well, what do you expect? You know, you're 48, or you're 54, or you're 65. You know, mm-hmm. you're going to feel that way. You're going to have aches and pains. You're going to feel lousy. You're going to feel tired." And then they go on the detox, and they go, "Whoa."
Yeah.
They have an epiphany, because it turns out that it may be the burden of foods that they're allergic to, or a toxic burden that's creating the problem. It's not a panacea, because there's some problems that are certainly not diet-related, but it can sort of unmask what is caused by the routine foods that you eat day in and day out. I mean,
yes.
Think of how routine our diets are. Everybody's a creature of habit, and you routine day in and day out of certain things, and once you get off them, you may see that these are having an impact on you. And then that can be a great insight and a very powerful experience. So the other problem, I will mention another problem with fasting regimens, or not fasting, but detox regimens, is that people are juicing, and they're getting tons of sugar. There's some people never happier. They're very happy to go on a fast, because that means they can guzzle fruit juice all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the hypoglycemic people mm-hmm. with the blood sugar issues. And it just makes it worse because they don't have any protein or fat to buffer it. So all day long they're on this roller coaster. They've got to get to a juicer, you know, every 2 hours and guzzle another concentrated juice.
And you're not doing yourself any favors going to your local health food store and getting carrot and apple juice and just taking that on a day-to-day basis. So it winds up being too much sugar.
There's this other detox thing, which is really horrible, which is the detox teas.
Oh, yes.
Right? You know, many of them.
Dieter's tea.
Yes.
Oh, my favorite one, ballerina tea. This was a big man.
Well, we know about.
Very brusque.
We know
and said, "You're drinking what?"
Yeah, we know how prevalent eating disorders are in ballerinas. I mean, it's almost like the majority of ballerinas.
Well, you know, that's a good point. I never thought why they would name it something
like that. Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, do you want to have an eating disorder? Then drink ballerina tea, because it's this whole notion of like eating and then purging is sort of a bad mental attitude that is part and part of the eating disorder psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people think, well, I'm going to eat, and then I was bad, I'm going to detox. Well, you know, you kind of swing from overeating to detoxing, and that's called bulimia.
Right.
That's a form of bulimia. And you can have bulimia is not just putting, you know, your finger in the back of your throat and vomiting in the toilet. It also can be purging with laxative-like products like this to sort of expiate your sins for eating the wrong thing. Like you'll eat, a half a box of Oreos, and then you'll take Dieter's tea to, like, you think it's going to be the antidote. Think again. And it's also, it just gets people a bad headspace when you start thinking that way.
That's true. You know, a lot of people, though, don't realize, because these dieter's teas are available at your local grocery store, people claim, "Well, I just have my diet tea and I'm not constipated anymore." Well, guess what? You're taking a laxative. There's senna in there.
Yeah, and you get hooked on that.
Absolutely.
In that sense, it's a self-renewing product. It's great because, you know, you're going to come to depend on it. We have time for one more question.
Okay. This comes from Lori. She writes, "My integrative gynecologist tested my estrogen and other hormone levels with a blood test. Isn't it better to test with saliva? I'm on bioidentical HRT and thyroid. But since I've started to gain weight, I've been bloated, I'm cramping, I think I suffer from estrogen dominance, but my blood test says my estrogen is low. Should I not be on estrogen? She needs a consult.
Well, yeah, this is a little complicated because we do bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and we do blood tests, except when it comes to cortisol, where we measure with saliva, because it will require 4 times per day to check the circadian variation, the morning, noon, late midday, and nighttime variation in your cortisol, which tells a story. And that's actually scientifically substantiated, because when they do experiments on people to measure their stress, they use saliva cortisol. So that's actually pretty well established. When it comes to thyroid, we use blood tests. When it comes to testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, DHA, we use blood tests. Those are fine, but you have to treat not the blood test, you have to treat the patient. So there's sometimes where the blood test may give you a misleading result. And really you have to listen to what the patient's saying. There's certain features of estrogen dominance. That's actually one of the most popular articles on our website. You know, I just Googled estrogen dominance on, on Google. And our article comes up like on the first page, like right up near the top. So it apparently there are thousands and thousands of people who are eyeballing that article to get a handle on estrogen dominance, which is an important subject in the field of hormone balance.
Let's talk about some supplements for estrogen dominance.
Okay.
Calcium D-glucarate is one. Breval is another.
Which is the flax concentrate.
Lignin.
Breval, yeah.
You want to make sure that you move your bowels regularly. You want to make sure you're on a very clean diet, that you're getting exercise. These are other ways to detoxify, is also through perspiration.
DIM, yes.
Also, especially if there are weight issues associated with this.
And, you know, make sure that you exercise. And the other way to improve the balance is sometimes use a little natural progesterone. And the natural progesterone can come in the form of prescription, but you can also get over-the-counter natural progesterone cream derived from wild yams, and applying it to the skin often helps balance women at or near the time of menopause, because they usually at that point make too much estrogen and not enough progesterone. So that's estrogen dominance in a nutshell.
There you go.
So, all right, that's about all the time we have for today's edition of Q&A with Layla. So keep those questions coming if you have a question and you want us to address it during our weekly session. Please email us to radioprogram@AOL.com, and we will endeavor to answer your question to the best of our ability on the air. And a reminder, please subscribe to our Hoffman Center newsletter, which goes out on a weekly basis. And we won't harass you with lots and lots of advertising or solicitations. We just want to get information out to you. And this week, my newsletter was about the 20 risk factors for heart disease you never knew you had. Interesting article. You can also find it on our website at drhoffman.com. And your contribution, Layla, was?
Yeah, I talked about hidden food allergies and the concept of allergic addiction. Why the foods that are causing us the most problems are the ones that we crave, that we feel like we can't live without. Interesting stuff.
So you can get your weekly health inspiration and lots of intelligent medicine news via our website. Subscribe to our newsletter. I'll be happy to get it out to you. Well, thanks for joining us today, Layla.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.